good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Ahu he kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. And as you know, Wendy, we talk about Native issues and human issues. And as you know, also we talk about a lot of news and events here on Native Roots Radio, and we have our regular guests. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Hey, I don't know, Wendy, if you saw the news about wolves today, or have you seen
it? I am going to talk about it later on. Yes, I'm very happy. I could jump for joy.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear that news and see how that's broken down. You are on location there in New York, keeping the fort down there and gathering all Native news and events and sacred animal events there in Long Island, New York. So I want to say Pinigi for stopping in. And I will be getting soon a housekeeper to come in and clean the house. So on your return, you will not be mad at me for a week or a month. So we are working on that right now.
Cool. Sounds good.
Hey, good. So, hey, we have news and events here on Native Roots Radio. And as you know, we have Ogama, and she does the news for us. So let's get with her right away. Ogama, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi, Ani Bujo, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganua Kwe. My name means strong golden eagle woman. I'm enrolled at the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I'm here in central Minnesota now to bring you the news with Native Roots Radio. First thing today that I would like to touch base on is a little bit local. For the Twin Cities here, the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition is hosting their annual Valentine's Day, or February 14th, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives event this year, again virtually. The hashtag this year is hashtag MMIWR-MN, or you can use, of course, a hashtag MMIW and MMIP for missing and murdered Indigenous persons. The event's going to run from 12 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Central Time. They have a really great lineup with Senator Mary Kunish, who's usually on our show on Fridays, and Minnesota House Representative Heather Keeler joining their event. Heather Keeler is actually planning on doing a little bit of a takeover of Native Roots Radio this coming Monday on Valentine's Day, or February 14th, with Mary Kunish and some other Native female legislators talking about the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous relatives throughout our region and the country. So stay tuned for that. And if you want to register to have your event spotlighted during the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition event this Monday from 12 to 1:30, you can register at www.MUSAC.org/events. Wanted to make sure to cover that today, is that's a really important event that's coming up this coming week. I just kind of mentioned it yesterday, kind of in passing at the end of the show, about the Native artist Walter Echo Hawk Jr., also known as Bunky Echo Hawk. There's a lot of fallout happening in Indian country right now, as he was known as a pretty prominent artist and is being charged right now on allegations of lewd acts with a minor. I'm not going to, for trigger purposes, get into too many details of the notion of his charges, but Indian.com's AC Aguayo did a really good kind of catch-all article Echohawk is from the Pawnee and Yakima Nations and has collaborated with a huge amount of Indian-like groups, including the American Indian College Fund, Pendleton, the Urban Indian Health Institute, and Illuminative. Many of these organizations now are calling for, are making statements, I should say, that they stand with victims and that they're going to be removing any artwork or removing some of those things that Echohawk had collaborated with their teams on. However, there's some other larger contracts that Echohawk had, such as Nike's N7 program, that have not made any public statements about that. So there's a growing push on social media for these larger companies to make a statement in support of survivors and to pull, Echohawk's designs. So it's just a really deeply saddening day in Indian country when we feel like we can't really know our relatives or maybe can't trust some of those relatives. And it's been an ongoing issue, especially after so much of the community had come out after Echohawk's daughter had died in a car accident in late 2021. A lot of the community came together to make a huge amount of donations, I should say, toward the family. So just sadness all around. And I wanted to, that's affecting, I think, a lot of people around the country in Indian country. Right, Robert?
Yeah, it's been kind of a devastating couple weeks here. We had a TikTok influencer, and I know these aren't the same, but it's also the deep disappointment's the same. We had a TikTok influencer who wasn't even Native American who was stealing money from our community. And, I mean, this is just we just have to keep our eyes and ears open and support – I don't know, support the victims, but support and look out for these predators. And, I mean, they come in all different sizes and angles and skills.
Exactly, yes. So keep your loved ones safe. Remember to trust and believe victims when they come to you, when they bring this kind of information forward to you. Don't resist that urge to protect your relatives and to listen to victims. It's very uncommon that people make up things like that. So make sure to take that time to listen to people. Talking about our missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, a lot of the time that includes two spirits. And I want to bring it over to a little bit more cheerful news. Over in the Bay Area American Indian Two Spirits, so Bay Area, California, they have a Two Spirit Society that has a powwow. And they're having their second annual Two-Spirit Indigiqueer Drag Night tonight, February 10th, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific time, which I do believe is 9 p.m. Central time. So they're having a lot of really awesome local and I think some people who are maybe no national. I know I recognize the name Sunny Skies, and it's hosted by Eartha Quake. And they're going to be doing the Indigiqueer Drag Night virtually. So it's going to be very excited. They're going to stream it on their YouTube live. The channel is Baits, BAAITS, for Bay Area American Indian Two Spirits, powwow, channel on YouTube. So that's going to be really exciting. I really love to see our Two Spirit relatives stepping up and enjoying life and powwow dancing. And I might tune into that later. That sounds really exciting and a little bit cheerful as we kind of move into closer to our weekend here. Want to touch base in Oklahoma at the Oklahoma State Capitol earlier this week. Two people were arrested during the governor's State of the State address at the House chamber at the Oklahoma State Capitol after waving banners that say things like, "Oklahoma, we deserve clean land, air, and water, build back fossil free, and land back as well." So we can have a little bit more touching base on that on Monday. And then I want to give a big shout out to the Red Lake Nation, who after 22 years is finally opening its doors on its own radio station. So shout out to WRLN up north. Relatives, pretty excited for you up there.
Well, let's get on that, Ogma. Let's get our show on there. Hey, We'll be right back with Robert Lilligren. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Don't let COVID spoil winter fun for your family. Get a vaccine or booster. COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, free for everyone, and are now available for anyone over the age of 5. Booster shots are also recommended for everyone 12 and older if it's been more than 5 months since your previous vaccination. To get more tips, schedule your vaccine, or get tested, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. That's ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Oh my God.
Poor Wendy's exhausted, Robert. My goodness, she's been watching babies like she's been retired for quite a few, or for over a year, but now she's getting up at 5 in the morning. And Ogama, you're next when it comes to this, but you won't be able to come back to Minnesota or to our house like Wendy's gonna, but I can't imagine. But hey, this is Thursday, and we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. Our guru here to stop in and talk about Native – he thought that was funny – to stop and talk about local and national Native news. And, you know, Robert, since you've been on, we are really spread our wings. And we're, you know, in Milwaukee, Chicago, Madison, and, of course, the Twin Cities, and then all over Facebook Live and YouTube. So – it's with people like you that are on our show every week that really keep this circle going. And we want to just give you a quick shout out and say, thank you very much, Peenagi.
Yeah, it's Robert, Wendy, Ogama. So nice to see you. I think that is the first time anyone has ever called me a guru. So I will take that as a compliment.
That's awesome. So what's shaking? I know... we have, I just tell you, I don't know if you know this, but our store was closed down at Dayton's because of the uprising that's happening in Minneapolis. And we're sad. And what is your take on that? I mean, you know, the press isn't really popping out. I have to look on Facebook Live to see what's really going on in downtown Minneapolis. What's your take and what have you seen?
Yeah, so I have not been downtown. I just live less than a mile south of downtown. So so I haven't actually been down there since the shooting, since the murder. But I have my husband walks downtown every day, so he's always keeping me posted. And he doesn't have a lot of positive things to say, you know. And Minneapolis has enough sort of reputation issues. And then something like this happens, and it's like we just fall right back, you know, and It's a concern. It's kind of hard to live in Minneapolis these days.
Yeah, Robert, I don't know, too. Somebody put it in perspective, and I don't know if it was Matt that's on before us, but I remember, and I know you lived through it, but I remember when we had a police chief from Minneapolis that said there were no gangs here, and we were nicknamed Murderlapolis.
Murderlapolis, right.
Yeah, that was hard for me to say. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I can tell. That's, I'm trying to help you out. Yeah, well, and that was a huge deal, right? That was in, what, 1999, maybe 2000, right around then, that the New York Times called us Murderlapolis. And there's just been a string of high-profile murders, and some involving police. There was a police officer that was assassinated point blank as well. And right. I don't remember no gangs being here. I used to, you know, I lived in Phillips for 36 years. And when I was on the city council, I represented an intersection that was a sort of a continental divide between four territories, you know. So you kind of get to learn to recognize that kind of stuff. And, you know,
it was like all the art. Oh, go it was for Officer. It. Sorry, it was Officer Huff, right? Or that was was shot at the Pizza Shack. Was in the
Huff, the Pizza Shack on Lake Street.
Yeah, that was some dark times too. And you know, I just got to say this, Robert. Being a St. Paul person, we always said, "Do not mess with the Minneapolis police." And that's been around. That reputation's been around for a long time, but now they have body cameras.
Right. It's interesting that you bring up the Huff murder, and you know that was pretty shocking. And we just were talking about it in a community safety meeting this week, and a resident of Little Earth, a leader, Jolene Jones, was talking about it. And you know, everyone's talking about public safety. What does good public safety look like? You know, what does a community-based approach look like? We're always talking about that, and Jolene's point was talking about the quality of the relationships with the police department. You know, and the big chunk of the Native community lives in the Minneapolis 3rd Police Precinct. That's the one that burned down during the George Floyd, after the George Floyd murder. And but we, you know, whether you like them or not, they got to be part of a public safety formula. And one of the things we've really done well here is, even in times of strife and trouble and conflict between the community and police, we have these relationships, you know, and so we can talk, you know, we can find common ground, we can find ways to go on forward together. But with so many police officers retiring, leaving, you know, police officers here are getting redeployed just to sort of fill gaps and stuff. So we've lost decades of relationships, maybe a century of relationships out of the 3rd precinct. So now, you know, here we are in the community, we don't really have those go-to people that we once did within the department.
Wow, that's a really good point. And that, I know that happens in cycles, but this is a down cycle because of the George Floyd murder. And we probably have had a lot of police leave that should leave, but you also are talking about ones that we wish stuck around because they do have relationships with us. Wow. I never thought of that side of it.
Yeah, I thought it was a great point for Jolene to bring up.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I love Jolene. We have a lot of her stuff in our store from Little Earth. So, that, you know, supporting the community and like that. And she was the go-to person. And yeah, so she's great. She's rock solid. I love her too.
So you had to close your store down. I didn't hear that. That's the first I've heard of it. So
yeah, the Dayton's project has been totally closed until March. Mm-hmm. And I think some of it had to do with traffic, but also safety too. And again, you know, I've seen a lot of things going on, protests nearby, and so it just shook them a little bit, and I think it just made sense for a couple reasons because of the business and no one coming down there during that. So it's kind of a sad thing.
It's a sad thing. It sort of self-perpetuates, right? And, you know, I serve on Minneapolis's Convention and Visitors Association board, and the officers met today and, you know, talking about how to talk about this sort of both within our stakeholder community here but outward as well. And you know, there's people who don't want to come to Minneapolis for a convention or to visit because they think it's not safe And then there are people of color, indigenous people, who don't want to come here because they think they're not safe from the police. And so we're in a really interesting spot right now.
Wow. I never thought of that either. And see, you're on another committee. You are a guru there. You just proved it again.
Right. I joke with my 16 titles, right? It's 16 titles. I was on a radio show. Not this one.
Easy. I know Dr. Stately always likes to bring up NPR on Mondays. And it's like, what? What?
And then they said, well, we can only put one of your titles down, you know, in your feed here. Which one of your 16 titles do you want? Or something like that. Since then, I've joked to my 16 titles. And somebody asks me to do something, I go, oh, that's the 17th. No answer.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's why you love being on here, because we allow you to talk about your 17 titles here on Native Roots Radio. So that's awesome. No, but, you know, it's scary in a lot of different ways for me, only because it's really amplified. You know, I look at things nationally with January 6th, and then I look at what happened to this young African American man here in Minneapolis with 10 seconds to react to his life, and I'm going, there is parallel worlds going on here. I mean, water protectors, there's 1,000 water protectors that have been arrested for peacefully protesting and praying. And then we have the people that are ready to take over the government, that are still out and about and hanging out with their KKK buddies.
Yep. Well, and the last couple times I've been here, we've talked about Leonard Peltier. It's just that it's embedded, right, racism within law enforcement. And it's an integral part of our systems here. And I feel really fortunate, blessed that I get to be in kind of conversations about how we can fix the system or at least make it stop killing people. But you got to first admit, it's got to be truth-telling first, right? Racism is deeply embedded in law enforcement in this country.
Well, and it's really gotten, I don't know if it has gotten worse. I shouldn't say that, but it's really kind of, you don't need much schooling for it, you know? I mean, you have to be, to be a vet tech, you have more schooling than being a police officer, right? You know? And that's scary just to think of. But yeah, I appreciate you talking about this, because it's a rough subject to talk to, but we do have to talk about it, and we do have to talk about it from the Native perspective, but it's also great to have you on and talk about it from your experience as being a former city council member, and then all the other organizations that you deal with, the 16-17 organizations, because it is good to see your perspective, and I'm glad you feel free to amplify your perspective here. We're going to take a quick break, and we're here with Robert Lilligren. And Robert's with the Native American Community Clinic. I mean, Native American Community Development Institute. What? I was just seeing if you were paying attention, Robert.
You were thinking of Dr. Stately.
Yeah. Hello. I don't have any excuse about being tired. I haven't been watching a baby. I haven't been out. Or I'm not having a baby. So I have no excuse. But Robert, stay with us for another segment. You're listening, please, to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex, you make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hello, Minneapolis. It's Randy Rhodes on your radio in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight from 10 to midnight on AM 950.
Do you believe in ghosts? Ever wondered if aliens from other planets visit the Earth? Have you ever thought about whether Bigfoot is real? My name is Greg Bakken, and on my new show, Ghost Box Radio, we'll have these conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual, bringing together guests who are experts in these fields. Join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
Hey, this is David Pakman for All Energy Solar. Home utility costs are rising every year. It's unnecessarily costing you money. Stop renting your energy from the utility company. Switch to All Energy Solar. Going with All Energy Solar means you'll be in control of your energy costs. Plus, All Energy Solar can save you money at home and at your business. They work with both homeowners and businesses. Switching to solar is not just a good decision for the planet. It can reduce energy expenses for up to 30 years. More people are choosing solar for their homes to be more environmentally responsible, and they want to make purchases from businesses with similar earth-friendly values. Don't delay on going solar. 2022 is the last year of the 26% federal tax credit for installing solar at your home or business. Still not sure about solar? All Energy Solar is hosting a free winter webinar to answer all your questions. Learn more at allenergysolar.com, and we thank All Energy Solar for being a proud sponsor of the David Pakman Show.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Rain and snow tonight, along with windy conditions with a low of 24. Then rain, snow, and freezing drizzle possible on Friday with temperatures around 15. Check out Cafe Latte's award-winning selections of soups, salads, sandwiches, and treats from the bakery made fresh daily. Cafe Latte, Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul. CafeLatte.com.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, we are here. Thanks, Wendy. Good job. We are here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO, and also our guru here that we just realized. But hey, I want to touch base with you on a couple events that are happening and locally, and then I want to get in a little discussion about some politics. So, Robert, welcome back.
Thank you, Miigwech. It's good to be here. It's always a pleasure.
So, what do we got cooking here? You got some events you want to talk about?
Well, and it's a little bit of a brag, or maybe a humble brag, but there's a couple things that are going on that our organization, Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, is involved in. And one is happening this upcoming Tuesday, the 15th of February, and it is a forum for a client we've been working with for a couple of years. It's called Friends of the Falls. And it has to do with the disposition of the property around the lock and dam in the Central Riverfront of Minneapolis on the Mississippi River. It was a supremely sacred site. It used to be Spirit Island. That isn't even there anymore. That was all beat up. A lock was put in for river navigation, a dam for power generation, and to power mills. It destroyed the falls. And so it's just been sitting there. The lock's been decommissioned by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And so now we have to figure out what to do with it. And so this organization, Friends of the Falls, who are some of the, you know, the power people in Minneapolis, and they've been really serious on a serious journey, I'll tell you guys, the last couple of years to put Native voices at the center of this conversation and then to listen to those voices. And it took a while for NACDI to agree to work with these guys, this organization, Friends of the Falls, just because we wanted to make sure they were authentic and this is for real, and we are so convinced they are. Anyway, the long way of saying, we've convened a Native Partnership Council of some of the most brilliant Native environmentalists, cultural carriers. You'd recognize all of the names for sure. And so that group's been meeting, and now we're taking it to the broader community for the first time to talk about this idea of why we need to center Native voices, and why amongst all the competing interests there, it's the Native voices that need to be heard. And so on Tuesday, we're having our first community conversation. It's online, it's Zoom based. So if people want to either go to the NACDI.org website or NACDI on Facebook or Friends of the Falls, you can register. You need to register. But the panelists are incredible. I mean, I'm going to feel, it's the kind of people that make you feel smarter just being in the room with them, like Juanita Espinoza, artist, cultural carrier, Jewel Akernan, you know, language. Educator, Joaquin in La Pointe, and then an Ojibwe woman, Karen Diver, who former tribal chair and worked in the Obama administration, the Obama White House. Yeah. So these guys are going to be kind of talking about why this is important, and I am so excited.
So I noticed, too, that it's on during our show. Could somebody that listens to our show be able to watch the recording after the show, or... Or do they have to check?
So, yep. This will be recorded, available at our website, at other websites. And one of the cool things is that Friends of the Falls has access to resources, certainly more than our organization tends to. So they're really serious about telling the story. And so they've been working with some Native media people, but then also bringing sort of the kinds of resources that normally aren't available to us anyway. And so some of these things, you'll see some of them on Tuesday. Some of these prepared bits, these media produced bits, are really something.
That's awesome. I can't wait. And maybe we can get them to advertise on our show too, because we're always looking for that. Wen, do you have a statement?
I have a question. The area that you're talking about, Robert, is it by the Stone Arch Bridge or is it elsewhere?
Nope, it's right by the Stone Arch Bridge immediately.
I know where that is. Yeah.
So it's a very important spot. And, you know, we started this whole process with our Native Partnership Council in ceremony. And you can tell we sort of called something forward, you know, and this conversation is really centering now around the rights of water. Right. It's even gone beyond the importance of centering Native voices, but it's really about recognizing the rights of water, the rights of the river herself. It's powerful.
It is powerful. And one thing we know about the Mississippi, I know, Robert, when we were young, I lived by the Mississippi, and we would only go on the Mississippi back then in the 70s and 60s if we were drunk. Because it was so bad. It was so bad. And now I think all the way up to another sacred site, Pike Island, it's called Pike Island, but it was Bedote Island, which means, I think Bedote means, two waters merging. And I'm not sure if that's Lakota or Ojibwe, but, I think it's Lakota, but, it means two waters merging. And that water is cleaner now than it's ever been. And we always loved the St. Croix River, but it's even cleaner than the St. Croix River up to that point, I've heard. So it's amazing.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, so much to say. One of the points that Juanita Espinoza, a brilliant Dakota woman, she was talking about what you were talking about, you know, the history of partying. That's what a lot of us remember, you know. Yeah. But her point was just, it was so well taken in that it's always been a place for us to go and gather and, you know, do something, be mm-hmm. social, be together. And, you know, when you hear, for me, when I hear something like that, it's like, oh, okay, it bridges something, right? All of a sudden it's like, oh, okay. And nothing really stopped. People never really went away.
You know, right.
Some were sent away, some were exiled, but people found their way back to the river.
Well, there was the fall, or what is it, the falls that were there? That wasn't there falls there? And I remember taking a class at the U, and they talked about how the falls were moving, and they could tell how fast it was moving because, like, I think Father Hennepin, who was not only a priest, he was also a scientist, found this prehistoric beaver, and he could figure out how far the river was being eroded. But we don't see any of those things, like you said earlier. There's sacred spots that have been dammed up and underwater, or the group that does the channeling has totally destroyed those old islands that were there.
Yeah. So, like Spirit Island, right? It was very holy. It was a place of birth and things like that. And if you go down to the Lock and Dam by the Stone Arch Bridge, when there's a that kind of looks almost like a pier or a slag heap, they figure that's some of the remnants of what was Spirit Island. We kind of figured out where it was from some earlier descriptions and stuff. But one of the people working with NACD, Carrie Day Aspinwall, Ojibwe Kwe, and she's the consultant managing this project. She's doing brilliant, just doing brilliantly. And, you know, she's a very spiritual person, you know, and she was telling us a story that she thinks they have the wrong spot for Spirit Island. She had a bit of an experience down there. And she said they're a little off. They're a little off on where they're. What I think it was, you know, so I can't wait to get into that.
That's really cool to hear. But again, we'll share that off on our website too after our show on Tuesday for sure. Those are things that, you know, we really love here in Native Roots Radio is amplifying the Native voice and the history, and we're still here and we have been here for thousands and thousands of years. I mean, I always love to hear, we used to have a different opening for hour two when we were on Saturdays, and Winona LaDuke would say, "We're the home team. We've been here 10,000 years," you know, I love that too. So we could just segue here in the last 3 minutes. We got the go ahead here. We're going to be doing Rock the Vote Native style here on Native on AM 950. And we're excited to amplify Native voices and Native allies that are running for office. And I know you're deep into that too, and we'll probably be reaching out to you for some guidance.
Yeah, I would love it. Yeah, and I'm not as deep into it as I once was, but you know, once it was my job, right? Politics and being involved in party politics and things, and so you know, it's interesting to have that perspective and that experience. And then at the organization I work for, NACD. We have a long-standing program called Make Voting a Tradition. And it started out as more voter outreach, but it's really expanded into engaging with elected officials and in the policy world. We did census work in redistricting, you know, we're testifying in front of redistricting committee, things like that. But what we're doing now is going statewide. There was national interest in promoting more statewide activities, and there's so much going on. It's such a rich field. And so we're convening a statewide circle or a statewide table, working with tribes. We connected to what's called the Minnesota MIAC, Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, which is sort of the official state body of the tribal leadership, and working with their staff to connect into the tribes. And so just really getting every Native eligible voter to the polls, registered into the polls.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I know, too, we've talked about this, and I think, you know, pre-primary, we're going to be doing Rock the Vote Native style, and we're going to be finding people that are going to probably need your mentorship, too, that are Native, that are running for the first time. And we're excited that I know you're open to that, and that's kind of your jam, too.
anything I can do to help. This is, I would love to. And in, you know, just kind of how much is going on in the community, how we're building those networks that maybe Native people have lacked since the disruption of colonization. And so the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, MIAC, the executive director, Shannon Gieschick, met with our staff on Make Voting a Tradition at NACDI. And Shannon is a fellow through the Native Governance Center, and her partner's project is to encourage urban Indians or non-reservation Indians to vote in their tribal elections. And so suddenly there's this great kind of synergy going on between these two efforts, and it's connecting those up. That's a lot of what our organization, NACDI, does, is try to be that intermediary, try to connect people doing like work.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I think we have to use our voices, and I know you use your voice to support and get people out to rock the vote Native style. And, you know, we're talking too, we're done here, but we're talking about, you know, amplifying Native and Native allies on the radio. And we know you'll be helping with us in whatever capacity can. So we really appreciate you being on. And as always, it was a great two segments here. We can always count on with you.
I appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
All right. Hey, that was Robert Lilligan. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hi, I'm Anna, and I'm 8 years old, and I'm getting my COVID vaccine. If you're between 5 and 11 years old, you can get vaccinated too. Getting the jab might seem a little scary, but there is lots of good reasons to do it. You'll be protected from COVID, and you'll be less likely to spread it to people like family and friends. Have your parents find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Bonjour, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation,
and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
We've got to howl out today.
I know, we do have to howl out today.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we should just get right over to your segment. It's beautiful. And just to remind everyone that this is our sacred animal, sacred relative and sacred animal section that Wendy does here. And there's not always good news because we're on attack, but today there's some good news. So, Wendy, introduce yourself and welcome, as always, to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and congratulations having one of the greatest husbands ever.
Absolutely. Hey, everybody. Yes, my name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. As always, Curtis, thank you. Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level and have really awesome news. I'm really excited to share this news. It's been a long time coming and a really, really big fight for a really long time. First, I'm going to read from Howling for Wolves, who has been one of our most loyal sponsors of Native Roots Radio. So I really appreciate the work that Howling for Wolves does. And this is just from today, February 10th, 2022. Breaking news, wolves have been placed back on the endangered species list by the U.S. District Court. This includes Minnesota wolves. Yay! Media statement, and this is from Howling for Wolves. This is a fantastic decision for our wolves as it protects them for future generations. While wolf trophy hunting has been stopped by the federal courts for the time being, it's important for us to continue working on wolf plans that support effective and non-lethal conflict prevention strategies and enforcement of illegal poaching laws. This relisting onto the federal endangered species list allows for time and space for work by people, policymakers, and agencies to achieve this important paradigm shift to non-lethal wolf plans. Howling for Wolves educates the public about the wild wolf to foster tolerance and to ensure that wolves' long-term survive. Howling for Wolves opposes wolf hunting and trapping methods that reduce wolf livestock conflict and support current federal protections for the wolf. So this is really fantastic news. I don't know how many emails, petitions I've signed, emails I've sent, phone calls I've made for our wolves, not only in Minnesota, but throughout the United States and elsewhere, that we need to keep these animals thriving, healthy. And then we have a statement here, a press release. Sorry, I'm having trouble talking for the past 9 hours today. I was with a 3-month-old, so I had no adult conversation at all. So that's my excuse today. But this is from the Humane Society of the United States. It's a press release from today, February 10th, 2022, that a federal judge restores protections for wolves. The decision halts the war on wolves in 45 states. I'm just going to say this right now. The Northern Rocky Mountain wolves are still not on the list. And now is the time to call on Deb Haaland and demand her and ask her to relist the Northern Rocky Mountain wolves, because they are still not protected. But I'm just thrilled that elsewhere that they are, and that we did, finally do this. But I just want to read this from HSUS. Washington, today, a federal judge overturned the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service November 2020 decision to delist wolves almost across most of the continental United States. This decision will restore federal Endangered Species Act protections for these iconic carnivores in response to a lawsuit brought by the Humane Society of the United States and Coalition of Conservation Organizations. The opinion, authorized by Judge Jeffrey White of the Federal District Court for the Northern District of California, faulted the government for a number of legal and scientific errors, including its failure to assess threats to wolves across their entire range. Today's decision puts an end to the bloody and controversial management of wolves by states like Wisconsin that have had primary authority over wolves since the delisting went into effect in January 2021. What quickly followed in Wisconsin was a February 2021 trophy hunting season in which state-licensed hunters, aided by packs of hounds, slaughtered more than 215 wolves in under 3 days, exceeding the state's quota by nearly double. Wisconsin's plan to open a second hunt this fall were temporarily blocked by a state judge, but future hunting seasons there and elsewhere were all but guaranteed. With the Endangered Species Act protections back in place for wolves, trophy hunting is once again prohibited. I'm really thrilled and just so excited about this. Again, we still need to call on Deb Hallen to relist the Northern Rocky Mountain Wolves. And I just want to say this too, over and over, I read, especially the Yellowstone, people visiting Yellowstone National Park and the surrounding area there where they were killing wolves. It's a multi-billion dollar industry just for people coming to those states, spending money in hotels and restaurants just to see these beautiful animals. And they are worth so much more alive than they are dead. So I am just thrilled about this news. It was funny when I heard it, I just like was flipping through, you know, my social media, and it was all over. Every animal advocacy group that I'm friends with on Facebook had just had it blasted out. So I'm really, really just thrilled about this. But again, like Howling for Wolf said, we still need to be diligent and make sure that this stands and stays in enforcement. And we got to help those Rocky Mountain wolves. We really do.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I always think of that story of years ago when we first started Native Roots Radio, Wendy, and we talked about how the wolves brought back a lot of natural things at Yellowstone Park. And
If anybody has the time, it's like a 3 or 4 minute video. It's called How Wolves Change Rivers. And it's a beautiful caption on how when the wolves were reintroduced into Yellowstone Park, how it just became, you know, beautiful because the elk and the other hooved animals were eating all the vegetation and it was desolate there. And then they reintroduced, I think, 11 wolves in 1991. I'd have to go back and check that date, but the wolves then hunted the elk to have the elk in a more a better herds, and the grass started growing, the roots started growing around the river, the river changed, more animals came to the rivers, birds and other animals also came, and it's really a beautiful thing. So go on YouTube and look for How Wolves Change River. It's a really good video, and a guy with a really nice British accent narrates it. So it's really wonderful to listen to. I recommend it very highly.
Well, it's a great day here at Native Roots Radio because of that. I know you bring up our sacred animal, the wolf, a lot. And I just have a quick question. We only have like 5 seconds, Wendy. Why aren't the other wolves protected? Do you know?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Let's get back to that tomorrow, maybe. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Thanks to Robert Lilligren, Ogama with the news, and of course, Wendy. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated and boosted.